kicking up grass and startling the neighborhood dogs into song. They drop small stones into the water, watch the tadpoles scatter, and count the ripples. "Run, little guys," Kira says, her voice small and high like an actress in a bad horror film. Ava stomps and snarls in the shallows. She's still wearing her low tops, her socks full of pond, water squishing between her toes. She is Frankenstein's monster. She is a vampire queen. She is newly 13, hollowed out and filled back up with venom and dust cloud dreams. She throws her head back and howls at the sun, pretending it's a strange burning moon and that there is no other world than this one where she and Kira are. Kira thunks down onto the bank, sitting with her legs pulled up and her arms draped across the tops of her knees, watching Ava. Her hands dangle from her small wrists like claws. She laughs as Ava poses for her, thrusts her hips out at impossible angles, and squinches her eyes tight. Kira pretends to snap photos with her hands, diving onto her stomach to make sure she gets the shot. "You're a sexy monster," she screams, swooping to the edge of the pond for a close-up, splashing water so that the droplets hang in the air for barely a moment, rainbow-colored. "Say it, be it. I'm a sexy monster," Ava repeats and bares her teeth. Kira yanks her arms and they fall onto the grass, a giggling heap of girl. They catch their breath and wait, for their hearts to stop thudding, for the warmth to drain from their cheeks. They wait for the howling they don't voice to quiet. It never does. Instead, it evens out, a thin purr that lives inside their rib cages and the webbing of their fingers. Ava knows she really is a monster, or at least she feels like one, unnatural and unfamiliar in her body. Before 13, she hadn't realized empty was a thing you could carry, but who put it there? Sometimes she wonders if she will ever be rid of it, and other times she never wants to give it back. It is a thing she owns. Kira sits up and brushes the wet tops of Ava's sneakers. "Your mom's gonna kill you." The girls continue on without their shoes, fleeing into the shade of the small wood behind the pond, bare feet pressing down into cool, loose dirt. They don't cry out when the sharp points of broken twigs or acorn tops dive into the soft flesh of their insteps. They grit their teeth and keep moving. They swallow pain. In a clearing where the sun breaks through, they find a dead cardinal, red and perfect, lying on its back with its legs curled in the air like small, delicate rooks. "Don't touch it," Kira says, leaning in so close the tip of a bent feather almost brushes her nose. "Bird flu." But they both get close like that, hunkering down, drinking death in. Ava wants to trace her finger along the soft black feathers surrounding the beak. She is jealous of its open, hollow eye, the utter stillness of its body, even its rank, sweet smell. She lies down beside it, her head at its head, and stares up into the jagged patch of sky. She imagines she's at peace. Kira lies down too, and they stay like that until the sun sinks behind the pines, casting the world in cool gold and nightshade green. When Ava's mother picks her up that night, her eyes immediately scan her daughter, looking for unplaited hair, for marks, for evidence of her wild ways. She pauses at Ava's shoes. When she speaks, her voice is saccharine, all her words crisp, enunciated carefully, as if speaking a language she knows but wishes she didn't have to. It's the voice she uses for her answering machine, for meeting strangers in professional situations. The one she switches on for talking to her daughter's friend's white mother. "Thanks for watching her," she says, smiling, but her eyes are unlit coals. Kira's mother is a fluttering, airy sensation at the doorway, something fleeting and cool against Ava's cheek. "Oh, we love having Ava," she says, and her cotton candy voice seems like the real thing, so earnest it could melt. "Why are your sneakers so dirty?" Ava's mother demands as soon as the door is shut and they are walking to the car. "Why every time I come get you from this girl's house, you're always a mess? Both her parents live here and they can't watch y'all?"